Hi, everyone. I'm Andrew.
I'm Martin.
And this is the Argonauts Podcast. Every 2 weeks, I fail to solve an ARG, and Martin tells you what I should have done instead.
Yes, and this week we are doing two short ARGs.
Oh boy, how come your mom lets you have two ARGs?
I'm here, I'm ready for a short episode. We always say that, and then it's a 3-hour recording. We'll see what happens.
I'm excited to get into these. We've got two based off of two video games. Marn, to start things off, I do have to ask you a question. Have you ever played either Ultra Kill or RuneScape?
I have played RuneScape, but it's been like 20 years. I had a friend in middle school, probably more than that. No, I would say about 20 or like, yeah, 15. I had a friend in middle school who's very, very into RuneScape and like tried to get me into playing it. And I played it for like a week and I was like, I don't see the appeal of this. Ultra Kill, I have a lot of friends who really like it, and I have been meaning to get into it. I just haven't picked it up yet. Is it on sale in the Steam sale? Hold on.
The real question of the episode, how many copies of Ultra Kill are we going to move this week?
Oh shit, it's 25% off. Maybe this is my time. Clown,
hey, who's New on... Blood Interactive, reach out to us. Let's work out a deal.
No, yeah, Cloud, who's on Riley Hopkins and their amazing friends, pitched it to me recently and was like, you might like this. It has, like, ARG stuff going on and a bunch of, like, extra canonical, like, lore websites. And I was like, oh, shit, I should play that, actually.
I'm looking at their Steam page now. This game is not for me, but this looks like, for the people this is for, this looks incredible.
Yeah, the thing that's holding me back is I don't think I would be good at it because I'm not very good at video games.
Yeah, fast-paced first-person shooters are not my bread and butter. I'm much more of a RPG that you get to spend 20 minutes figuring out your turn for kind of guy.
Ah, sorry, I just took a sip of my tea and it was too hot to drink.
Martin just got ultra killed. Yeah, I did play RuneScape as a kid. I remember I played, it's weird, I don't remember the game at all, but I know I played a lot of it. What I do remember is that I think that, mom, don't listen to this part. I think my first girlfriend I found on RuneScape.
Shit.
We talked to each other every day when we played, and then one day I just stopped logging into RuneScape. So, my bad, hockey girl Parker, if you're still out there, my bad. I was in my defense, at least one of us was 12 in that exchange. So, I don't know, maybe you were hockey guy, something else, who could say, but, yeah. I don't remember anything else about RuneScape. Could not tell you anything else about that, except I think that technically I do need to warn my wife that I do have a girlfriend out there still.
Yeah, my experience with it broadly was that I like made an account, logged in, kind of like dicked around for a while. I was like, I'm not interested. It's just like never touched it again.
Yeah.
I was busy playing Gaia Online.
I went through a phase where I like tried to play every free MMO I could find.
Sure.
And then I think as a result of that, my computer just stopped working. I downloaded one too many malware RPGs, and that was the end of things. But yeah, once in a while I think, should I get back into MMOs? And I have to like drag myself back from the ledge, because I know that if I get into it, I will not run a podcast network anymore, for one.
I was never an MMOs person because I never had like a laptop that could support playing them until like I was in college. But I was, I did do whatever the fuck Gaia's like MMO thing was that they like got rid of. It was like Gaia Towns, I think. They had like a vaguely like MMO thing where you like walk your little avatar around and like do quests and stuff, and that was what I did. I like Neopets, obviously.
Yeah. Well, hell yeah. Do you want to get into talking about, now that we've talked a lot about RuneScape, you want to get into Ultra Kill?
Yeah, we did have one question this week that I wanted to get into because I thought it was funny.
Oh, hit me.
Luke on Twitter asked, any video game ever receives a mysterious update that ends up being a trailhead for an ARG, which game would excite you the most? Bonus, what would you dread the most?
You know what? I love Inscription. I don't want to see it get more content.
I have bad news for you.
Yeah, yeah, that tracks. I don't know. I feel like every time they do work, I'm a curmudgeon and I'm just like, this is my thing. Why would we add more to this? It's perfect the way it is. And then people are just like, what if we add a little bit more? I'm like, no, never touch it. This is my perfect thing. I'm still bitter about Casey's mod. I know that I'm the only person that says, don't let me play more Inscription.
I'm trying to think, because I feel like all of the games that I'm like, oh, they should do like an art component have like done it. Like Oxenfree, Kentucky Route Zero had like the phone number, mm-hmm. and like a couple other things. I don't know. They should do, you know what? They should do a Sam and Max ARG, and they should let me make it. hey LucasArts, if you ever want to bring Sam and Max back, boy do I have a pitch for you.
Yeah, while we're rehashing stuff, hey Pokemon, hit us up. I do think that some kind of ARG set in the BattleTech universe could be cool.
Oh, mostly shit, yeah.
Mostly because it means that somebody is caring about the BattleTech universe, and they might make another BattleTech game. I don't think that's going to happen, because I'm pretty sure that studio went under, because nobody liked the Marvel game,
I'm
remembering. No, it was a different studio and different game, but it was a game that Riley and I played a couple times on our stream, and I was like, it is a shame this game is not as good as it needed to be to keep the studio going.
I think that Holy WoW should do a Trombone Champ ARG.
Yeah, that'd be sick. That'd be cool.
Like, I know their other games have kind of like puzzle-y elements and stuff. Like, I would play it. I can't think of a game that I would be like upset aside from, I mean, like Inscription, but like, no, that's whatever. I'm looking at like the games that I own. I can't think of. I would be upset if they did a Kingdom Hearts ARG.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I feel like that would be
like there. Iffy. There was a fan made Kingdom Hearts ARG that we had a thread for in our Discord, and that was good. I don't want Square Enix to do an official Kingdom Hearts ARG.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I think that would kind of ruin the spirit of a Kingdom Hearts ARG.
Yeah. I don't want there to be a Baldur's Gate 3 ARG, mostly because I've given enough of my time to Baldur's Gate 3, and I don't need to get sucked back into it.
Mm-hmm. I was about to say, I would... No, never mind. I would play a Fortnite ARG, and I know they've done them in the past.
It is kind of funny to me that we've gotten to a point where, like, we've done this show long enough where we're just like, oh yeah, this seems like the kind of thing that would have an ARG, parentheses, derogatory.
Well, Fortnite did an ARG, and people got really mad when they realized it was Fortnite. Because they, like, thought it was for some... They, like, thought it was an indie ARG, or it was, like, for something else, and they just, mm-hmm. like, got really mad about it.
They should do an ARG where... Because I think that ARG ran through... If I remember right, the speculation is that they got people's addresses through, like, Fangamer or something like that. A website that ships to a lot of, like, gamer merch. Because, like, I got a postcard for that, and I have no connection to Fortnite, but I have ordered Fangamer shirts before, and I think that was kind of the leading theory.
Oh, interesting.
I think that they should do an ARG where, like, them or... was it like I Am 8-Bit or whatever? Like those mm-hmm. kind of stores. One of them should do an ARG where they just send me a bunch of vinyl records. That I should agree. Be the structure of the ARG. They should just send me a bunch of game soundtracks on vinyl. Yeah, I think that would be a really good, really compelling ARG.
I agree. Everybody get on it. Start sending Andrew vinyls.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, while people are starting to package things up, what do you say we get into Ultra Kill and Runestone Basalt?
Yeah, let's do it. So yeah, we talked a little bit about Ultra Kill. It's a first-person shooter game that came out in 2020. It's about robots. That's what I know about Ultra Kill. it's like Devil May Cry, but with robots, and you're in hell, I think.
It looks like it is a first-person shooter where with an emphasis on deliberate movement and stylish techniques, according to the Wikipedia page for Ultra Kill. The player must quickly make their way through an interpretation of Dante's layers of hell, with each layer being divided into multiple levels.
Okay, that's cool. I understand now why people keep recommending me this game. Yeah, this sounds
very Mart. Yeah. How does it feel to have, like, oh, this thing's about hell. Marn would like it.
It feels awesome.
Okay, all right.
I get a lot of really good media recommendations that way, quite frankly.
We all have our niche.
and the other thing that I know about it is that, like, in addition to the ARG, I think it has, like, some websites where, like, you can go to find bonus lore, I believe, that's just, like, extraneous in the universe of the thing.
Okay.
And so, in 2022, last year? 2 years ago. What year is it? there was a update to the game that put a little bit of an ARG trailhead in there.
Okay.
It was found in the March 16th, 2022 update, and after a specific boss fight, there was a error code that displayed on screen, which was actually a link to a unlisted YouTube video.
Cool.
Which is just a 1 minute scroll of a bunch of encrypted text.
Huh. Yeah. Okay. On like old school printer paper.
Yeah. Set to music.
Mm-hmm.
And towards the end of the video at about like, oh God, that's a very loud noise. I just skipped to it. Towards the end of the video, it cuts to a black screen that says there are four words, blank slash blank slash blank slash blank. Indicating that there were four keywords to find in that video.
Okay.
In the description of the video, there is a link to a Google Drive file called There Was Another Noise .wav. And if you open the wave as a zip file, or if you save it as a zip file, there is a hidden image that pops up called whoarewe.png, which is a texture from Ultra Kill, the game. And the players compared it to the actual texture block from the game, and did like a difference comparison and found a multicolored block of pixels in the difference. And those pixels were actually a base 64 sequence.
Sick.
That decoded to a bitmap image that had the word atavistic in it, which was the first of the four keywords.
Okay.
And then you could further unzip the whoarewe.png to get another WAV file that was a password-protected WAV that was just named -.wav. And in its metadata...
Oh, it's WAV dashing.
Yeah, it's WAV dashing.
WAV dashing in this game? It says it's about movement, right?
I wouldn't be surprised. And if you looked at the metadata of this wave, it had coordinates that led to a real life graffiti mural in St. Louis, Missouri.
St. Louis, Missouri. Got that. Putting that in my brain. I do want to tell you that I did Google Ultra Kill wave dashing, and yeah. I did get a movement guide for Ultra Kill. The table of contents of which is like longer than a full screen.
Oh my God. Awesome.
I do not see
wave dashing. I like that the second thing that comes up is Ultra Kill Technique Iceberg on Reddit. Wave dashing is at the bottom of the iceberg.
This is a game made for a very specific kind of gamer who I am not, but I am sure that that kind of gamer gets a lot out of this game.
Oh, for sure. So yeah, the player's got coordinates to a actual real life graffiti mural in St. Louis that had the words "Gods with Amnesia" written on it.
Okay.
And that was the password to unlock the WAV file. And by doing a comparison of the audio in that file with the audio in the YouTube video, the players found the second keyword, primordial.
Okay.
The third keyword was found via the music in the YouTube video. It has a repeating sequence of guitar chords playing in the background. And when you transcribe those guitar chords into musical notes, they read caged.
Okay.
They're C-A-G-E-D. And further going into the music playing in the video, the players also found that there is a bass line in the track. And the bass line in the track is a Morse code sequence.
Hell yeah.
Which rules.
This is great.
This is like a very short ARG, but there's so much cool stuff in here.
Just oops, all bangers.
Yeah, the bass line was Morse code that led to a string of letters that turned out to be a pastebin link that contained a Google Drive file called therewasanoise.wave. And the players ran a comparison on this audio file and the audio in the YouTube video, and they found a text-to-speech audio clip saying tyrant. And okay. So if you took these four words, atavistic, primordial, caged, tyrant, you could decipher the very... You could use them as a key to decipher the very long chunk of code in the YouTube video, which is in AES-128, which is Advanced Encryption Standard 128. Which is a type of encryption for electronic data.
Cool.
And it says, congratulations, and then a very long string of, like, unreadable text.
Hell yes.
And players had kind of found in like, analyzing this video and the Google Doc and stuff, they had found an unused clue that said wall 4, shelf 5, volume 5, final page. And they started to speculate that this is a reference to the Library of Babel website. Are you familiar?
Is the Library of Babel the website that contains every bit of text that ever could be typed?
Yes, correct.
Okay, there's a smarter way of wording it than that. Do you have...
Game Detectives Wiki, which I'm using for this, describes it as a website that simulates a vast library of books containing every possible combination of letters and numbers. In the Library of Babel, pages can be accessed using a hexagon coordinate system based on the wall, shelf, volume, and page numbers. Basically, yeah. It has, like, every combination of, like, letters and words ever, but, like, you can't access a specific thing unless you have that, like, code for it. Or unless you, like, have a specific sentence that you want to search.
Right, so, like, I'm going to type in, I'm Andrew, and I'm Marn, and this is the Argonauts podcast, and I search that, and there is an exact match of that that is in the location. It is on page 142 of 410 of somewhere. I can't find exactly where this goes. But the long story short, it is... there's so much text in this thing that ostensibly every possible combination of letters will be jumbled together at some point to form every possible sentence ever conceivable. It's a fascinating thing, concept of a website.
Yeah, it's wild. A lot of it is just like random strings of words. Like there's not a lot that is like actually readable.
Yeah, there. It's the you know, it's instead of like you get a monkey at a typewriter, eventually it will type Hamlet accidentally.
Yeah.
Instead of that, it is if you put a million monkeys at a million typewriters, you will eventually somehow contain the entirety of human communication.
Yes. Yeah. And so now that players had like these coordinates, they were missing the first part of the coordinate, but they were able to take the big string of decoded like text that they had, and they plugged that into the Library of Babel, and then used that as their starting point to like navigate to like Wall 4, Shelf 5, Volume 5. And they eventually found a page that had the final message of the game in the Library of Babel, which is very cool.
That's cool.
And it says, I figured it out. I know why the creatures are suddenly and undetectably appearing inside our facilities. I know why spare parts and pieces of machines keep disappearing. I know why the doors seem to malfunction and suddenly lock themselves. It's not a glitch in the system. It's... Hell is alive. It breathes, it thinks. The entire area is a massive, intelligent superorganism, and it is harsh and it is cruel. Just by watching us, it has learned how our systems and machines work. It's not only begun to deconstruct our technology, but also reassemble it in perverse ways, attaching parts to the creatures it tortures, making them into an aimless army of death and destruction. It warps them across itself to get past our security. It locks our doors to trap us with them. This is not an attack. This is not a defense. This is entertainment. This is an exhibition of death and cruelty and suffering for its own sake. It had grown tired of what it had, and we unwillingly just offered ourselves up as new playthings. Tom, please, for the love of God, cancel this project immediately. We have to abandon everything and seal this place away. Leave the machines and tools behind. Evacuate as many as we can before it is too late. I can only hope this encrypted message is received before the organism learns to read it and intercept it. Whatever happens, we cannot let this being find a way out and spread to the surface. We hat. And then it cuts off, and at the bottom of the page it says, another dies, bring me more, I hunger.
This is sick. This, using the Library of Babel like this is really cool.
It's so cool!
Just... Because what, like, ostensibly what you did is you typed out a message and then you popped it into the Library of Babel to find where that randomly generated thing is randomly interspersed. And then you say, mm-hmm. Here it is, printed on purpose. It's such a cool idea to, like, do a puzzle this way for an ARG.
It's very cool. Apparently this was, like, the second Ultra Kill ARG that they'd done. Like, they also did another, like, mini ARG earlier in, like, the life of the game where they, like, did... They, like, encoded some stuff inside the game and, like, taught people how to find it.
That's really cool. This is cool. I like this
whole lot. This rules. Yeah. This is awesome.
I'm sad that this is the end of this arc.
I agree.
We're 20 minutes in and I'm already like, oh, things can't get better than this.
Oh, yeah. Okay. The thing that they did before this was, like, they hid SSTV in one of the actual like music tracks from the game, apparently.
Oh, cool.
And it like showed a teaser for a boss that they hadn't put into the game yet.
Hmm. That's
that
cool.
Rules.
That's really awesome. Cool.
These game devs, they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Everybody go play Ultra Kill and support the dev. They're doing cool stuff. Andrew and I can't play it because we would be bad at it.
Because we're too bad at video games. The creator, main developer, and composer of Ultra Kill, based in Finland. Shout out to
Hell
the Finns.
Yeah. Shout out to the Finns. You talk about RuneScape?
Let's talk about RuneScape.
So, RuneScape. This ARG specifically takes place in old school RuneScape, which is... one of the official versions of RuneScape. There are like three RuneScapes at this point, I think. There's like old school RuneScape, like RuneScape 3 and RuneScape Classic. Wikipedia is telling me. I don't know what the difference between RuneScape Classic and old school RuneScape is. Maybe just when they were released, I don't know. Old school RuneScape is old school RuneScape. What else is there to say about it?
Yeah, I'm on RuneScape.com. Sorry, play.RuneScape.com right now. Yeah, old school RuneScape is the game that I played when I was like 14. Yep, that's the one.
That's the one. Yeah, so this ARG also happened in 2022. I believe was finished in 2023, according to the Game Detectives Wiki. So runestone basalts are objects that you can find in the game. They are just like large basalt runestones. They're like black obelisks.
Okay.
And they started to like be found around the world in old school RuneScape, and they each had a little card on top. And if you interacted with them, it displayed a message that said, "You reach for the card, but it fades before you can grab it, as if pulled into another realm."
Okay.
And then opened up like a weird image in your browser. And after you interacted with the basalt, the card would disappear. And if you interacted with it again, you would get a message that said, "A faint warm glow can be felt where the card once was. I wonder where it went." And you would, so when you interacted the first time, you get one of three images. One was a like triple spiral pattern. One was the same pattern that had like a sort of like hidden message in the background, that said, "Keep watching, keep waiting for the moment in and out of time." And the third one also had that message, but slightly more legible in the background. And three unique runestone basalts were discovered around the map. They were discovered near the Lighthouse, Harmony Island, and Great Corind.
Okay.
And they eventually got updated to each have a unique puzzle for their location. The first runestone basalt was found near the Lighthouse, and it eventually opened up a unique image that had the same little like triple spiral pattern, and had text on it that said, "The wheel spins, ticking like a clock, pointing to time past and time future." And it had a file name that was a bunch of letters and numbers. And it also had a bunch of letters hidden in the background of the image. And if you converted the numbers in the file name to letters using A1Z26, you would get a string of letters that was a key to decode the letters in the background of the image via Visionaire Cipher. And if you did that, it decoded to Wheel of Fortune.
Okay.
You may start to see what we're going for with the card motif here a little bit.
Yeah, we're playing a little bit of Bellatro.
The Harmony Island puzzle image said, "They have the power to change and the power to unchange what might have been and what has been." And it had Chinese characters hidden in the background. And the way to decode those was you had to count the amount of strokes in each character and then convert those numbers to letters using A1Z26, take the letters that you got from that, and then use that string of letters on the file name to de-visionaire it to get the phrase "the evil."
The evil, okay.
And then the final puzzle said, "The wheel still remains unbroken for now. It points to one end, which is always present." And this one had 7 pixels hidden throughout the image.
God.
7, like, differently colored pixels, and you had to find their X and Y coordinates. And then, from left to right, add up all of the digits in the X and Y coordinates, and then take the string of numbers that you got, run it through A1Z26, get that string of letters, and then decode the file name with the Visionaire cipher to get the Fool.
Okay. I know that in tarot, like, the death card does not necessarily mean you're going to die, right? Like, they're not as one-to-one distinct as they look like it. I would still be pretty upset if I ever, like, pulled a tarot card and it was like, Oh, the fool. Great. Thank you. Yeah. That to me would be worse. I'd rather pull the death card.
A card that calls you an idiot.
I flip over and he's just fucking moron. Like,
And so once they got the all three of these, once all three of these had been solved, they each the image that you got if you inspected the pillar updated to have the decoded phrase, so it would say like the name of the thing that they decoded, like 1 of 3, 2 of 3, and then stand by for further messages. And then each of these images hidden in the background, if you if you analyze the image, it said seriously just wait. Just really funny.
Oh, that's so good.
So this was all in January 2022, and in February 2022, an update happened to the lighthouse's image. You would get a new image when you clicked on it, and it had the same kind of like spiral background, but this time with a bright like cyan border and text that said "Follow the sound of the flowing river." Hmm. And players found that there were some hidden pixels in the border. That if you isolated just the blue segment of their RGB values, you could convert it to audio and put it through a frequency analysis tool and it would spit out a sequence of letters. This is like elaborate for RuneScape.
Hell yeah. No, I like this. This is sick.
Yeah, this is fun. And if you played the audio backwards, you would get the numbers 5490. And so if you decrypted, if you took, okay, so they basically had to decrypt this in the square of the border. So they had to go like line by line of this border. And so like they had to take like the first sequence of letters and be like, okay, 5 is like the key for this Visionaire cipher. And then that's how we decrypt it. And they got a string of letters out of that, and then they had to, they figured out they had to shift each character one space back, and then do another Visionaire, with the code Wheel of Fortune, and that gave them, the location Cambridge, England.
Damn, alright.
Yeah. And so they got two more of these, of course, because all of their...
Cambridge, England is where Jagex is headquartered.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Which I know because I'm falling down a wiki hole as we're talking about this.
So, and of course they had two other puzzles to solve because there were three runestones. So the second one was a similar image that said a river torn apart yet remaining as one. They got a hint apparently on Discord because they couldn't solve it right away.
the Clues Fairy came.
Yeah, the Clues Fairy came and spelled out oscilloscope in Morse. oscilloscope is a type of electronic test instrument that graphically displays varying voltages of one or more signals. Okay. And they had to... once again, kind of like plot out letters and musical notes, using like the pixels in the image, and then taking those letters and using the musical notes, they were able to decode another Visionaire cipher, and they have to shift it backwards and then decrypt it again using the evil as their key. And they got their second location, which was Wilmington, North Carolina.
Hmm. Okay.
Their third puzzle was in Norwegian.
Ooh.
It translated to, eroded by the tooth of time, the language was, to the extent that the door of translation remained locked.
Okay.
And they also had to get a hint from one of the mods for this.
I was going to say, some of this is really hard, and it doesn't surprise me that... I was about to say, it doesn't surprise me that RuneScape players might need the help, but I mean that non-derogatorily.
Yeah.
I realize that sounds a little mean. I don't mean it like that.
And so they got a hint from a mod that said, first message of each transmission equals a little bell emoji 103.
Okay.
And so they realized, I guess eventually, that they had to once again convert like the pixels in the border to audio, and then they had to put it through a Bell 103 modem using like a program, and they got a series of numbers that they then used A1Z26 to decode to letters. And then from there, they didn't really know what to do. So they got another clue from the mods that was a full, like, block of text in Visionaire.
It said, it's octal.
It said, once they put the key baud into it, it said, in each stream hides two transmissions. The first spoken by a bell rung 100 times plus 3, a machine used to speak a language forgotten. The second is the same, but spoke at 10 times the speed. The first will be numbers needed as a key. The second will present a vision of a lock.
Okay.
And so they put the same audio track back through the Bell 103 modem, but at 10 times the speed. And they got a PNG file that had a grid of zodiac symbols.
Hmm.
And so they had to map each zodiac symbol to its corresponding letter in Wingdings in order to decode this message, which said beige ahead, beach cash.
Okay.
And then using the string of letters they'd gotten from the first transmission as their key, shifting everything backwards, and then using the Fool, they got their final location, which was Wellington, New Zealand.
Cool. I don't know what those other, what the two other areas have to do with RuneScape, but that's cool.
Maybe like places they like just had employees.
Yeah, it might be.
And
that this, or it's the new areas we're adding to the game. Pretty soon you'll be able to go to Wellington, New Zealand and Wilmington, North Carolina.
And also this image that they had behind the Wingdings had three separate images hidden in it. You had to isolate either like the red, the green, or the blue channel on it in like a photo editor to like see one image at a time. And each of those were real-life locations that corresponded to, like, the cities that they'd gotten.
Okay.
So the first one was a stone compass, and players had to, like, figure out where there was, like, a compass-related landmark in Cambridge. They finally found it at Milton Country Park, and some players went there, and they found a hidden cache with a Wheel of Fortune tarot card that had an incomplete QR code on the back.
I'm pretty sure a Wheel of Fortune tarot card with an incomplete QR code is a card from Bellatro.
True. Oh yeah, it literally was just like a a plastic box that said Arg Cash on it in big letters.
Oh man, you know what? I applaud that. I love that. I can't critique that. I walked around a convention center with a shirt that said "Ask me about my ARG." So really I can't really critique that. I like that a lot. Players know exactly what they're getting when they find it.
The second image was a picture of a sundial at Carolina Beach, where the players went and they found the evil tarot card. And their portion of the QR code. And the third image was a picture of an astrolabe. And the players for this one also got a accompanying image with encrypted text that when you use the Fool to decode it from Visionaire, it said, a gift from Harmony Island. The card waits to be found near a tool used to count shadows in the land of the long white cloud. And the players found that this was... the image that they'd gotten with this message had coordinates to the astrolabe in the Wellington Botanic Garden in New Zealand, and there was a cache hidden in a nearby bush at the Botanic Garden.
Hell yeah.
That had...
Hey, where should we put this one? Just toss it in the hydrangeas.
Yeah, just in a bush. that had, so they got the cash, it had the Fool, it had the QR code. They were able to complete the QR code, which led to osrs.game/thewheel, which still exists. It leads to an image that says stand by for further communication.
Okay. I think more ARGs should explicitly include hang tight as like a part of their messaging. Just like, hey, we're going to be a minute. Give us a little space. And it's probably easier when there's another whole ass video game you can play instead of just the ARG. But I do kind of like just the how upfront you can be with lips saying like, hey, we'll be in touch soon.
Yeah, I agree, especially because it's like they were actively like running events on the site in this time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, yeah, it's good to be like, hey, we're gonna put this on pause. Don't worry about it. You'll hear from us.
Yeah, we'll be back. Not now.
So they ran an event February through March on Old School RuneScape called Leagues 3 Shattered Relics, and some players that had achieved certain goals got medals in the mail. And alongside each medal that a player got was one of the three tarot cards and a piece of paper that had an encrypted message on it. And each of those messages could be decoded using Visionaire and the name of the tarot card that had come in the package, which is very cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
And so the full list of messages that people got were Who Watches the Watchers, The Future Isn't Yours to See, Three of a Kind, Cards of Power, Soon a Puzzle Will Be Revealed, Eyes Beyond Our Own.
Hmm.
And when players inquired about the completion status of the ARG, they got a message from a mod that said 18 letters, 6 messages, 3 cards, 2 dead tongues, 1 final message, The Horseman Waits. And that was it for about a year.
Dang, all right.
This was like March 2022. The next they heard about this was in January 2023.
All right, when I said that, hey, telling people to pause for a minute is good, I didn't realize you're going on that big of a pause.
And there was so January 18th, 2023, there was a news post posted on the Old School RuneScape website with like a changelog and a couple other things. And there were sections of the text that were corrupted by like glitch text. And one of the mods' names, like one of the in-game mods' names in the post had been like rotated 180 degrees. And if you clicked on it, you could get to a page that had an image on it that said, you've all been so busy pleasing those who watch. Now one waits for your message. Use all you know in the puzzles ahead, and in return, a reward once lost. To find it, you must speak a phrase to a horseman in an ancient tongue. In the background, hidden in the background, was the phrase, the final performance. And if you put this in as a link on osrs.game slash the final performance, it redirected you to an image called watching.png, which has like the same spiral background and a repeating list of the English alphabet, and also a crescent moon hidden in the background. And certain letters of the alphabet were missing in some of these strings. And so if you went through and found which ones were missing in each alphabet string, you could plug those in as a link. It was RIPDDW, which leads to a image called stars.png, which is a PNG showing like a crescent moon and a bunch of stars kind of like randomly placed on a black background.
Okay.
And if you adjust the contrast of the image, you can see hidden like constellation lines, like attaching a bunch of the stars to each other.
Hmm.
And if you took those constellations and overlaid them onto the big, like repeating alphabet, you would get a sequence of four different letter strings from these constellations.
That's cool.
It's very cool.
That's really cool.
And one of the constellations specifically had dashed lines that increased from 1 to 5, like linking the stars. And by combining the letters from that combination specifically, because they had a way to read it in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, they took those letters in the order that they were given, and that took them to their next page, which was stories.png, which had a chunk of text written in alternating English and Latin, and you had to translate each line to the opposite language, basically, to get alternating lines of text in English and Latin that were each alliterative.
Okay.
So, like, the first line, like, all begins with the letter L in Latin, and, like, the second line all begins with the letter Y in English, and then reading that down as an acrostic, they got their next string of letters.
Interesting.
Yeah. And that took them to their next page, which led to an image that said, "Your audience is pleased with your efforts. Your work is nearly done whilst mine continues on. At the intersection of the timeless mount, all that remains is for a horseman to hear the call. These 18 characters will be your final test until we speak again somewhere, nowhere, everywhere." And this had some capital letters kind of like interspersed throughout this message, which spelled out elite, which was not a valid link. And so this was kind of the end of this trail. But the mod whose name was upside down in the news post had posted a bunch of like glitched images on Twitter that had wingdings on them, that decoded to 3 steps, 18 characters, 2 dead languages, 3 codes, warp the letters, self-contained, destinations discovered. I have enough left for one more set of clues. They will surely help, but first you must ask. And there was also a hidden message in Latin, in one of the images that said, that translated to "Time wins twilight, 18 characters, key salad elite."
Right, we're gonna find the key salad elite.
So the players took, they basically took all of the like nonsense letter strings they'd used in the chain of URLs that they just found, because they realized if you put them all together, they were 18 characters. And then they decrypted them from Visionaire with the key 18 characters. and then that they had to decrypt again from from Rot 18. And they got a Latin phrase that they then were like, okay, alongside Latin, another, like, we need another dead language because it's 2 dead languages. And so they realized they had to convert the Latin into Leet speak.
Jesus Christ.
It's very funny to call Leet speak a dead language.
No, but tell me it's wrong, though.
It's not That's wrong. Incredible. It's just so funny.
That's incredible.
And so they were like, oh, okay, now, like, we have this this message. We have to, like, give it to someone, like, in the game.
Uh-huh. The horseman.
So there is a character in the game who runs a toy store that sells toy horses.
Okay.
And you can give him that code to unlock the Mystic cards, which are a set of weapons that you can have in old school RuneScape.
That's awesome. Just like Gambit cards to shuck at people?
Okay, hold on. I think so. Yeah, they're melee weapons.
Hell yeah.
while having the cards equipped, other players will have a right-click duel option listed in their choose option menu. Doing this will result in the player throwing a card towards the target. Yeah.
You can Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel people?
I think, yeah, you can choose the duel option and you just start chucking cards at them.
Yeah, that's Yu-Gi-Oh!
Yeah, when equipped, the item resembles the duel discs used in the Yu-Gi-Oh! Franchise.
Incredible.
Awesome.
Honestly, An ARG that gives you a Yu-Gi-Oh! Dual Disc is exactly what I want. When Inscription does their next ARG, I want them to give me... Actually, I was making a joke. Inscription already lets you use a dual disc. Never mind. That is a thing that happens in the game.
Only for like a second.
It's long enough. It is. It's long enough. It was. I popped off.
I think it's exactly the right amount of time.
Uh huh. No, a guy who's been a wizard the whole time talks about magic cards for so long, and then when he's ready to battle you, he says, "Here's your dual disc. It's time to duel." Incredible. Good shit. We're not talking about Inscription right now. This is incredible in RuneScape. I love this.
Yeah, both of these ARGs rule.
What good ARGs?
What good ARGs? Even see, though they only took like a couple days each to solve. What good ARGs?
Can I start a new character now and then go to Diongo and Drainer Village to get
Yeah, the thing? I think so. I'm pretty Hell yeah. sure.
I'm going to start playing RuneScape just so I can play as a cardsmith.
Hell yeah.
Incredible. Well, Marn, I it feels weird to say it this so quickly, but I think that's going to do it for us tonight.
Yeah. What did you think of these ARGs?
Both of these are really cool. I love they go deep on puzzles in a way that I've been missing a little bit from the ARGs we've been covering lately. A lot of ciphering, a lot of code decoding. I like this. This is a breath of fresh air to me.
Yeah, I like when ARGs trust their players to kind of go really deep in the paint, so to speak, and be like, we're going to give you this one YouTube video, but there's four puzzles hidden in it. Good luck!
I think you can kind of afford to do that, too, when... as we were kind of saying before, like both of these ARGs are secondary to the thing that they are.
Yeah,
they are for. So like in a way that if we just launch an ARG, I mean, it's kind of secondary to the podcast, but the podcast comes out every 2 weeks. Like it's not like if we launch a podcast and people decide I want to try and or if we launch an ARG and just people decide they want to solve it, that kind of becomes a primary thing instead of the thing that they're doing in the background of playing RuneScape or playing Ultra Kill. So I think you can kind of get away with doing that when you have a secondary thing, because it's like you've got a built-in way for people to kill time in the ARG. You've got a built-in way for people to say like, okay, here's where I can find more players that are interested in doing this thing. So I like them being able to get in a little deeper into this.
Yeah, and I think especially like when you have a video game that you know has like a pretty dedicated fan base, you can be yeah. like, oh yeah, there's gonna be like one or two sickos that are definitely gonna solve this.
Yeah, we know we have sickos. Let's get in here.
Yeah.
We're RuneScape. We've had these kids locked in since they were 12.
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, these are really cool. I like them a lot.
Yeah, I really like these. Well, incredible. Marn, what do you say that we get to recommendations?
Let's do it. I have one. I'm trying to remember if I've recommended it on the show before. I don't think I have, weirdly.
What are you throwing at us?
I'm gonna recommend something on Steam. I want to check real quick and see if it's on sale, because then I can double recommend it.
When does the sale end? Because it might be over by the time this comes out.
Oh, true. Yeah, never mind. I don't know. Pay full price for it. It's good. My recommendation is that I played this like back in December. I don't know why I haven't recommended it yet. Go play Misery Chord. It is a visual novel that you can buy on Steam. Only volume 1 is out. I believe volume 2 is coming out this year, I want to say. There's like a trailer out for it, but I don't think it has a release date. It's under $10, whether it's on sale or not. It is really good. It's a murder mystery set in a nunnery in the late 1400s, where the premise is that you play as an anchoress who is like the nun who is like locked in like her own cell, and like that's where she lives and she doesn't come out, and she is like in there and prays and like helps people with their problems. Like she's totally like sequestered away from the rest of the world, And another nun at this nunnery gets murdered. And the Mother Superior basically comes to the anchoress and is like, you're the only person I know that it for sure could not have been. So you have to, like, come out and, like, be a part of the nunnery now and, like, investigate the other sisters at the nunnery and, like, figure out who did it. And it's really good.
Hmm. So, Marn, are you telling me you're interested in a game that deals with nuns?
Yeah.
A nun murder, you say?
A nun murder.
No, I've actually seen really cool stuff about this, and it looks really cool.
Yeah, it's great. I love it. It has a really compelling mystery. All of the characters are great. I love that. I love that part of its, like, its take on, like, oh, like, it's a murder mystery and you're playing as a nun, is that you're specifically playing as an anchoress who has never, like, been outside, and so she doesn't actually want to solve the mystery, and the whole time she's just like, I want to go home. This sucks. I don't care who did it.
I'm on their Steam page right now. Did you know that the developer of this is one of the co-hosts of the Shriekcast, the Shrieking Shack?
Oh, yeah.
I knew it. The name sounded familiar. Fascinating.
Yeah, it's really good. Everybody go play it. So volume one, I would say, I think it's probably like a 5 or 6 hour read. It's good. I played the whole thing in one night.
Hell
go
yeah.
Go meet some cool nuns who totally don't do any murders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great nuns, good nuns. I'm sure all of them are on the up and up and serve the Lord well.
They're all really normal.
I'm gonna flip over and do. I have a similar thing. It's a visual novel that I've also played.
Ooh.
I didn't like it that much, I will say, but I do think that it is a. I didn't like it super much, but I do think that people other than me probably will, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Have you heard of the game The Cosmic Wheel Sisterhood?
I think so. I've not played it, but it sounds familiar.
So it is a visual novel about where you play as a witch who has been banished by her her coven of witches for 1,000 years due to making like a prediction about the end of the coven that her the matriarch, the head of the coven, did not like. She has a title. I don't remember it. And so you're banished for, you're like 200 years into your 1,000-year sentence, and your character decides, fuck it. I've performed a ritual. I have summoned a demon who is going to give me, my tarot cards were taken away from me. This demon will give me the option to make my own tarot cards and try to create a future from here. It's a really cool split in gameplay between making you make and design your own tarot cards that have their own stats based off of what elements you put into them. And then from there, when you do readings for people, the options of what you can say is going to happen is drawn from which card you pull and what stats you put into it.
Oh, that's cool.
So it is a literal, it is not a deck builder game, but it is a literal deck building game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It takes a pivot in the middle of the game in a direction that I didn't really like, but only because I wanted it to be other things more. Where it kind of pivots into like doing a political game to try and put someone in power of your witch coven. Which is an interesting idea and an interesting switch, but it's not necessarily, I it's not what I wanted the game to be. Wanted the game to be a lot more visual novel where you work with characters and try to shape the future based off of what cards you're pulling instead of going in this weird political direction. Not in a, like, a game shouldn't be political, blah, 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 but in a, I'm sad that this game literally turned into a politics simulator.
No, I get it.
But there's a lot of really cool stuff at play in it. I would definitely say check out the demo if you're interested, if it sounds interesting to you, because there's a lot of good in it, and I liked especially a lot of what was in the demo. I just didn't quite like the full end of the game, but I would recommend it to people. It's one of those, you know, not for me, but I could definitely see where it would be to someone else.
Hell yeah. Oh, my other recommendation is if you like Balatro, but you need a break from Balatro, go buy Card Shark. It's really good.
That's the like the cheating simulator, right?
Yeah, it's by the people who made the Reigns games. And it's, yeah, it's like you're in 18th century France and you're learning how to cheat at poker and like other card games. It's great.
Hell yeah. Well, yeah, there's our recommendations for you. Cards that aren't exactly card games.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Also nuns.
Also nuns.
You know, just, hey, do you like groups of women? Come check out the games we're recommending. Well, Marn, I think that that's going to do it for us. So if you want to check us out, you can do so. We're together on Twitter. You can find us at Argonauts Pod. Otherwise, individually, I am at co-host Sherms.
I am at Core Survivors.
And if you want to get a hold of us in a longer form that isn't overrun by bots that tell you which parts of their biology or which parts of their anatomy are in their bio, you can do so by sending us an email. We are at argonautspodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what games you want us to cover, what you want us to take a look at, where you're interested, or just, hey, say hi. Beyond that, if you want to support us, you can do that by going to patreon.com and searching for the Moonshot Network. We do all sorts of really cool stuff and have a lot of really great shows on the horizon and already hosted on our network. We are also gearing up, you know, hey, sometimes we do a thing in May. We're not really announcing it, but I wonder if we're going to do that again. Probably. Keep an eye out.
Also, Patreon Drive.
Yes, April, we're going to have our Patreon drive. Do you want to give us the pitch for that?
Yeah, I was going to say every April. Since last April, we've been
doing it. It's tradition.
It is now tradition. We've been doing it for 2 years as of this April. We do a Patreon drive in April where we put a bunch of cool, like, extra special bonus content on our Patreon for Moonshot. It's a lot of, like, hey, these Moonshot hosts got together and they played a one-shot of X tabletop game. Or, like, these Moonshot hosts are gonna do a little bonus episode of their show to go on the Patreon. And it's to get new Patreon subscribers, make a little bit of extra money for the, so that it goes into our stream budget and our budget for shows for the rest of the year. I personally think that this year's lineup of stuff that we're gonna put on the Patreon bangs, it's all really cool. I'm gonna be on at least two, maybe three things for it. And you should check it out. Even $1 a month will get you most of the stuff that we're gonna put on there, and it's all good stuff.
Yeah, do we wanna announce what we're doing?
Yeah, we could talk about it.
Yeah, we still need to find time to record it ourselves, but we talked about in our latest Argies episode that we never actually did it for the first 2 years because we stumbled on doing it in our third anniversary, I think. So we're going to do, I think we're going to split it into two episodes of doing the Argie Awards of what we remember from 2019 and 2020.
That'll be fun because it's really just going to be like what made the biggest impression on us.
Honestly, it is a what withstands the test of time. But I do think we're going to do it. It'll be an early release on the Moonshot feed. We're going to release it here later. But if you want to know, if you want the hottest goss about what we think about things from 2019, you can get it first by being a member of the Moonshot Patreon.
Yeah. That's our pitch. please give money to Moonshot if you like what we do and you want us to have a budget to do bigger and more things.
And if that pitch doesn't get you, please give money to Patreon. That probably got one person, maybe. We got to end this before I start getting out of hand. So, Marn, that's Args, baby.